Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Right now, we are in an economic downturn that isn't being helped with the pandemic or the unrest in the country. Joining us from the Director at Studies in Poverty and Inequality Institute is Isabel Fryer. Isabel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And yes, as you say, it is not a happy picture, but it really is a necessary one to try and understand.
Extremely necessary. Would I be correct in saying that the disparity between the haves and the have-nots is growing?
The disparity is growing, and South Africa has the dubious position of being the most unequal country in the world. If you look at the labor statistics that were released by Stats SA yesterday, we can see how this happens to a great degree. So in addition to the question of the historic accumulated wealth that the minority had, what we're looking at is an economy that is not providing a sufficient employment. So the stats that came out yesterday showed that in the single year between April, June of 2020 and of 2021, the unemployment figures rose from 4.2 million people to 7.8 million people. So there was a 78% hike in unemployment in the last year that we've had.
I saw a phenomenal figure of people that have actually given up. They've given up looking for work, and they believe that there is no opportunity for them to obtain gainful employment. Is this true? And how do we go about changing this attitude amongst these people who have become so despondent?
It's a really good question. I think the first place to start just in trying to understand this narrative is that of the officially unemployed people, of the 7.8 million people who are unemployed, 75% are in what is known as long-term unemployment. So globally, that's the figure of 12 months. If you've been unemployed for 12 months or longer, you're known as long-term unemployed. And that's a signifier for an increased difficulty in getting back into the labor market for a variety of reasons, outdated modes of methodology, etc. But so first need to understand that three quarters of the employed are long-term unemployed. But then in addition to that, as you said, 3.3 million people are what's known as discouraged work seekers. Now, a discouraged work seeker, and this is my gripe that I have with that today from time to time, is definition. So someone who's given up looking for work is known as a discouraged work seeker, and they are neither employed nor unemployed. So they live in a limbo from a statistical perspective. But effectively, they've done the calculations. They've seen that the returns on the cost of looking for work against the likelihood of getting a job is so low that they've actually given up looking for work. It is a response in the quarterly labor force survey that the field workers asked, but people are pretty clear that in their mind they have given up looking for work. And the question about what to do about that, it's a difficult one, because you've basically got to give people some hope that there is a return to be had on their kind of risk analysis as to what they should be doing. We need to be able to ensure that people have a greater access disposable income so that they can look for work. So the return on a negative investment, as it were, the return on a failed taxi trip does not mean that they've got absolutely nothing. So that's on the one hand. There's mobility there. But also that there needs to be demand for employment. I mean, I was talking to someone yesterday about how we actually value employment. So employment is a commodity. It's my labor, your labor, is a unit that people can buy. So there needs to be enough turning of income in a society that more people have the ability to buy the units of labor. And so we need to really be looking at how we free up some of the idle investment. Not the investment that is used to generate return, but that which is not that productively employed, and use it to enable you and I and others to buy labor, and therefore create the demand, as well as make that data use, that taxi trip, affordable, so that the returns on a negative trip or a negative inquiry are not so large. And that's really why many of us are saying that the only solution that we see, and it's a very topical debate, I've actually spoken on time on about it before, is something like a basic income grant, where someone would have a monthly amount through a grant payment that enables them, if they fail to find a job this month, they know they can always find one next
month. We talk about our country being an emerging economy and the need for jobs. We have a president who talks about the fourth industrial revolution, and we see that we need jobs in manufacturing, but the big manufacturers are bringing out robotic arms to do the job of mm-hmm. what you generally see workers doing. And now we're seeing a major retail outlet rolling out tellerless stores. Does this defeat the purpose? Does the fourth industrial revolution create jobs, or are we seeing jobs being taken away by the introduction of all these electronic systems?
I was in a conversation with someone when I was visiting South Korea about 3 years ago, and I was taken to the Huawei plant, and everything was robotic, as you say, with a few managers. And I was just reflecting on the fact that in South Africa, we actually have surplus labor. And the response I got was that the investment in the robotic technology was for countries where they anticipated a lack of labor going forward. So we are caught in a situation in South Africa where one of the commodities that we have a surplus of is the workforce. What we don't have, however, are the jobs. So we need to find a way in which we're able to benefit from the efficiency of the fourth industrial revolution without necessarily losing the employment component. And I don't think that that's, I mean, I love the way you put it, because I don't think that's the question that enough of us are asking. We've caught in this binary, either robots or humans, either developed or developing, as opposed to saying, let's take stock of what assets we have and how we utilize them. So we could have a far more productive turnover more productive work staff by investing in some capital investments and machinery, but we could massify production because of the number of people we have. And I think that maybe a coming conversation that we could have could unpack that a lot further.
It's a very important conversation. I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. I don't think people realize just how bad unemployment is and how it contributes directly towards poverty and inequality. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Isabel.
My pleasure. Thank you.